May all my words be in the name of the Holy, One, True, and Living God. Amen. For those of you who have or have had terrific fathers who were a gift to you and a blessing to your life, I join in saying Happy Father's Day to you. And also to those who are fathers to terrific children, I say Happy Father's Day to you. I am a man who is blessed in both ways. So, Happy Father's Day. The core of today's reading seems to me to be within this line from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith was revealed. We have been imprisoned and guarded under the law. How does that come together for us with the other stories? If we begin with the story from Luke with the crazy man running around, living in the cemetery with the hogs, often naked, set apart from society because they couldn't handle him, sometimes bound and kept away to keep himself and others safe. Sometimes he was known to do harm to himself. And Jesus sees this man with so many demons and tells the demons to come out. We may think that we don't live in a world today that exists with the possession of demons, but perhaps you've known a man or a woman who has been possessed by a power so great that it overtakes all sense to them, and they cause harm to those that they love, and it puts them outside of family and society. Perhaps we have known people that wrestle with demons in that way. I have. Jesus says to the demons, get out of them. And it's the demons who respond and say, we know who you are, O Holy One of God. What do you have to do with us? It's the demons that respond. The man is almost like he's a spectator to this. And the demons beg Jesus, don't send us back into the abyss. Don't send us into nowhere. Don't separate us into nothingness. Let us go over there into those pigs. And Jesus says, okay. I wonder what the PETA folks would say to that. But the pigs don't seem to know that once the demons get inside of them, that they can't fly. And so they come running down the hill, go off the cliff, into the water, and they drown. And there go all the demons. And what did this man have to do to gain all of this? Nothing. He did nothing. And now he sits at the foot of Jesus, fully clothed and in his right mind. It was a gift. He didn't earn it, maybe he didn't deserve it, but he did nothing. So Jesus told him, go back home. Tell people all that God's done for you. In the story of the great prophet Elijah, perhaps the greatest of all prophets, or one of the greatest of all prophets, we had the story last week where he causes the fire to come down from the sky to prove that there is only one God and it is Yahweh, and you're following this wrong God of Baal. So gather up all of his 450 prophets. He takes them down to the valley and he kills them all with a sword. And the next day he's told that he's got one more day to live. The evil queen wants him killed, of course. And so he runs away. He runs away believing he's done what he was supposed to do, and with the words that I'm the only righteous man left in Israel. which sounds to me like it might be just a little arrogant, maybe conceited, foolish. In spite of all the presence of God, now that he has been threatened with death, he runs away and hides under a tree, and now he asks God to just take his life. I'm no better than my forefathers. And perhaps you might begin to garner that feeling if what your day before has been spent doing was killing 450 people. I am no better than my forefathers. At once, he runs away fearing death, and then he asks for death to come to him now. And so, in his sleep, when he wakes up, he finds that he's been fed a warm meal and water brought to him by the angels. What did he have to do to prepare that meal? Nothing. Nothing. But the Lord feeds him and says, you're going to go on about your work. Here's some more food. And as he goes off and he's hiding further in a cave, he says, come out to the door because the Lord is going to pass by. But much to his surprise, what comes by is wind to crack up the mountains, fire, earthquakes. But the Lord was in none of those. That was just the big noise. The Lord came to him in a thin, reedy voice. And that's what Elijah heard. Much in the same way that Father Hyatt sends us out back into the world on a Sunday with the words that sometimes God is but a whisper. That's where he felt the presence of God. And for that, and for his food, and for his protection from the queen, he had to do nothing. Now we go back to the Galatian story. Paul writes 6 chapters in Galatians about this business about the law is your enemy. You have made the law your enemy. At that time, the big argument is about what do you have to do to earn the privilege of becoming a Christian? What rules do you have to keep? What laws are there? Do you have to become a Jew first? Do you have to do things this way or that way? And Paul says, it's not about the rules. The rules put hate in your heart. And nobody knew that better than our Saint Paul. Because in his love for the law, he was chasing down those who believed in Jesus, trying to get them arrested, at least arrested, or killed. The message is, the law puts hate in our hearts. Martin Luther takes the 6 chapters of Galatians and writes some comments about it, about 1,200 pages, which I'd like to share them all with you right now if you have time. But in those 1,200 pages, what I learned from Brother Martin and from St. Paul is this business about the law is this, and it has 2 parts to it. Before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might justify ourselves by faith. The Greek word is paregagos. It means, the closest definition for us would be babysitter. The law was our babysitter. Paregagos would mean I would hire a man to follow my little boy around and keep an eye on him, make sure he didn't get in a lot of trouble, and report back to me what he was doing so that I could teach him how to behave. When we're young, we need a babysitter. And when I think of my dad today, I'm grateful that that's the spirit in which that he raised me. When I was young, he acted like my disciplinarian, my pedagogos. He taught me. And when I was wrong, there would be long lessons. and what the lessons were not about what I did then was how I would deal with it in the future. But when I became a man, he reminded me that he did what he was supposed to do. He had taught me right from wrong, and now it was up for me to apply it, not to just think about what the rule is. Give great thanks to my father for thinking like St. Paul, because it was my decision. It was between me and the Lord, because we use the law to hate each other. We need to use it to make ourselves better one to another, and even worse, sometimes we make ourselves worse than someone else. We decide that there's only one proper way to worship. There's only one proper way to dress. That can't possibly be. But in our love for doing it the way we think is right, I mean, do we really need so many different churches in such a small town? Can there be that much difference? Can there? Are we the only ones that know what the law is? When we're young, we go by the rules. What Paul calls us to is a more mature faith. And in the maturity of faith, we can recognize and we say and we believe that there are no divisions. There is no longer Jew or Greek. The first division he erases is between something that we put on between peoples as religion. And that was sort of the way they divided the world then. You're either Jew or Greek. And we divide ourselves up by religion today, do we not? And we use that to create sin, to make us hate each other. And the maturity of our faith, when we leave the babysitter, we have to leave behind the belief that God has created these differences. And there's no longer free or slave. In our world, that means there's no longer rich or poor. All are brothers. God doesn't see that division. And finally, there's no longer even male and female. There is no difference. And it said that in a time when women were certainly thought culturally to be believed that women are less than men. And sometimes in our churches we continue to believe that women are not worthy to be ministers, and that can't possibly be so. As the presiding bishop reminded us in a sermon a few weeks ago, he said, "I thank God that Jesus had female apostles, because at the crucifixion, that's the only people that showed up. The men were off hiding. On the morning of the resurrection, who was there? The women. The men were hiding. The women are not less. The men are not more. In the maturity of our faith, we have to let the divisions go. And we don't have to go very far back in our own history and memory to see what hate we can bring into the world when we use religion or personal beliefs as a way to divide each other. And it's not just so bad that a guy goes down and mows down 100 people. It's the rhetoric that follows about rules and laws and amendments, and we continue to fight and fight, and we use the law so we can continue to hate each other. Martin Luther's point to all of this, which he gets inspired through Paul, is that you don't need to spend all day trying to follow the law so God will love you. God already loves you. You don't need to prove that. In our Eucharist, we say, God, in your infinite mercy, you made us for yourself. He already loves us. But we believe that we need to earn it or to get proof that we're doing the right thing or that we genuflect in the right place and time or go to the right church or read the right things or vote in the right way. In the maturity of our belief, all those divisions go away so that we can do, in the absence of following the laws, we can do the one thing that Paul and Brother Martin call us to is just to stand there understanding that we don't have to do a thing like that man among the tombs or like Elijah in front of the cave. We don't have to do anything except we need to accept God's love for us. That's the whole deal. And in accepting God's love for us, we would have to act more godly, would we not? With nothing to prove except the understanding that God loves us. What could this world become? Could we have a kingdom on earth the way it is in heaven? That's Brother Martin's point for today. Give up on the rules. Stop trying to earn God's love. Just let Him love you. Let Him work through you. Think of the two laws Jesus gave us. Just love God and love each other. That's it. Let God work through us because we accept we love Him. And I'll leave you with the words that Jesus gave to a man that He threw the demons out of. And it seems like good advice for us this day and every day. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you.